audience, welcome to the Bible study for the evening. We want to continue on this thought of the Joshua Commission. I'm sure if the Lord would really help us, you'll see just how important this principle is. This topic is not just a concept, but it's something that is very, very applicable for your life and mine.
Amen.
A very personal thing that really does reflect and show to us so much of the nature of God, his desire, his purposes, his plans. I will share my screen here, and we should be able then to get ourselves good. Okay, so the Joshua Commission. So we wanted to look this evening is, what is the Joshua Commission? You know, that would be a very good question for us to ask. What is the Joshua Commission? Why are we speaking about this? We spoke a little bit about it last week. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. We mentioned that scripture last week, Romans 8, verse 19. Paul is saying, for the earnest expectation of the creature, so he's saying creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, to see the unveiling. That's what the word, same word for revelation is the same one for manifestation. It's the unveiling. It's something that's been hidden, and then it's unveiled. And then you see the work that's been done, and it's manifest now, and you say, wow, is that what's been taking place in the life of that person? That's the manifestation. And you see things start, which were maybe in secret before, things that were impersonal, the Lord is dealing with you in your personal life, but then all of a sudden you break through, and things start manifesting themselves in the life of a person, which is a blessed thing. Let's pray before we continue. Father, thank you for your word that we've read. Now we need your grace, Lord. Won't you help us, Lord? Help them that are online. I do pray for each of them. Do pray, Lord, for Brother Alex, Sister Anne, and you bless them, Lord, and keep them today and bless their holiday, we pray. Thank you for bringing back Brother James, Brother Cardell.
Yes.
Father, Lord, we appreciate these things. And now,
yes,
Lord, we want to draw near to you. You quicken us and guide us and lead us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated there. So we're looking at, what is the Joshua Commission? So what is the purpose when he's speaking about this? You know, obviously taking it from the book of Joshua, and we know from the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham makes it very clear to show that, you know, the coming of the Lord and the great secret that was in the heart of God, he hid it in symbols in the Bible, and he also hid it in the characters of the Bible. So if you want to know about the coming of the Lord, you can go and read the life of Joseph, and you can see the mystery sealed in the life of a person. If you want to know about the coming of Christ or the first coming, you can read about David, the rejected king, who later on comes in glory. So the Lord veiled the great purpose, the great mystery that he had in peoples of the Bible. And one of the great mysteries that he veiled was the Joshua Commission. Yeah, he brought, we saw last week, he sent Moses to bring the people out of Egypt, to deliver them from their bondage. But that was only half of the ministry. Then the ministry changed to the ministry of Joshua, and it was Joshua who was to take them in now, so that each of them could inherit their own inheritance, could possess their land within their boundaries, within their parameters. So that was what Joshua was there for. So the Joshua Commission, the purpose of it, and the Lord does this every time that he moves, each dispensation, every junction, God sends one man to start the work. You can take it through the seven church ages, take it through the book of Judges, take it to Moses. God always starts off sending one man to start the work. He sends Moses now, meets him at the burning bush. He comes down to Egypt, but it's never the heart's desire of God for things to be a one-man work. No, God never ever wanted it to be like it. God wants every one of his children to be part of the work of his kingdom. So the Joshua Commission now is always the transition. It's the Lord moving things from being the work of one man, Moses, and bringing it to a place that everybody now, the whole body, starts possessing the inheritance. Now you'll take it with Jesus, with his disciples. You can take it in any way that you want. But it's moving things from the one man ministry and moving it to the body now, which is the very purpose that the Lord has. And it's like a transition time. The Lord has to do that. And people sometimes miss that transition, and they just focus on the one-man ministry all the time. You find that in the message. Now, some people, they just can't take their eyes off Brother Branham and say, what was the purpose of the coming of the prophet? Well, so that Christ could be revealed in you. You know, and instead of that, they just, everything, they put it onto the prophet. Instead of realizing the prophet's ministry came to reveal Christ in our age, to reveal who we are as the sons of God.
Yeah.
So we can now go in and possess our inheritance. We're not supposed to do what Brother Branham did. We're not called to that.
Mm.
Joshua wasn't there to throw down his rod and turn it into a snake and call plagues down. No, that wasn't the purpose of Joshua.
Yeah.
He was to observe everything that Moses said.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he stayed faithful to that, then each of the children of Israel, Gad, Reuben, Benjamin, every one of them would possess their own inheritance,
yeah.
their own boundaries, their own land, their own blessing. Now, to manifest God, to take out their sword and go forth in the anointing and power of the move that God had started.
Mm-hmm.
But it now went from being just Moses, and it unfolded now under Joshua to everybody. Now it's time for you to take your position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are. And that's where always the messenger passes off the scene. The prophet, he finished his work. And what did he do? He came, as we'll see, he really did his work perfectly, came and revealed Christ, reveal the mystery of Christ in our age, left us everything like Moses did to Joshua, and then the prophet went, and now we go on under, yeah, and the prophet, he also had the Joshua ministry, as we'll see as we go. But this is what the Joshua Commission is about. And we think about Moses and Joshua, it's a prime example. Now this handing over now, yeah, it's a different kind of a ministry. But it's a continuation of the same ministry. But the same ministry, it's not just the pillarified manifesting through one man. It's now the pillarified distributed in a body.
Yeah.
You know, so each person's got their place. Each person's got their calling. Each person's got their boundaries. Each person's got their fruits they're supposed to bring from their inheritance. They're not all supposed to try, like we said last week, to try to be like one another, to copy each other. Because each of them had an individual portion allotted them in the promised land. Exactly the same as you and I.
Yeah.
We have our portion. I have my portion. You have your portion. And King Uzziah got in trouble. Why? Because he went out of the boundaries of his portion.
That's right.
And he decided to go and try to do what the Levites were supposed to do. But he was called to be a king.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he stayed in his inheritance, he did great exploits.
That's right.
There was a great manifestation of a son of God in the life of Uzziah until he went out of his boundaries and took another man's position. We don't want to be doing that. We want to find our position. That's the most important thing. So the prophet speaks of the threefold purpose of God, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, these things, it's too easy for them to come theoretical. You don't ever want it to be that. Now, you'd really like to prayerfully wait upon the Lord, meditate on the things which the prophet says, say, Lord, make this real to me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want this just to be a concept.
Yeah.
But how does this apply to me? So he says here, he says, now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. That's a serious, serious thing to talk about. We could spend all eternity Amen. On that. He says, and how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we live in, see? Then you'll understand clearly then, on, I believe, what is being done. So the prophet said, for you to really understand what this ministry means and what this message really means, we need to speak about this mystery of God. Because what you see taking place, this isn't just a random something. This isn't just something out of place. Things have been unfolding themselves down. God's been unfolding his a mystery, a purpose, something deep inside of his heart. And it's brought it right down to this junction where we are. So we need to understand what is the heart's purpose of God and why has he brought us to this junction? What is God's mind for you and what is God's mind for me at this particular junction in time? That's what he's speaking about when he speaks about Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says God in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began, he has got a threefold purpose in it.
Mm.
So they get it. God's purpose was threefold. And you part of the purpose, and I'm part of the purpose.
Yeah.
And that's the wonderful thing. is that you are part of the heart's purpose of God.
Amen.
For you to be here today is part of his purpose, this great unfolding of this purpose of redemption down through the ages. He put us at such a junction. And that's what the Joshua Commission was chosen. He put us at the most precious junction. That's how Brother Ram said that. He said, if you had asked me what time would you like to have been born in the economy of God, he said, I would have chosen now. He said, it's the most glorious hour it is. He says, if you could just realize the potential, if you could really realize what God has in his mind for his people at this junction, he says, I'd never choose any other age to be born but in this age. You know, so it's the darkest age, but it's the most glorious as well. That's the thing. It's an age of great contrast, as we'll see. So he says he's got a threefold purpose in it. The first thing was God wanted to reveal himself to the people. That's what it is. What has Moses come to Egypt for? God wants first, he has to reveal himself to the people. The people can never take the inheritance unless God first reveals himself. The Lord needs to make himself known. And that's how we were in different denominations, we were in different, wherever we were.
Yeah.
The first thing the Lord has to do in the great mystery purpose, he has to make himself known.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's the very heart of God
Amen.
To express himself, to make himself known.
Amen.
If we can just have the right atmosphere inside of our lives, a hunger and a thirst, he'll always make himself progressively more and more known.
Yeah.
No, but when you get satisfied and say, I think I know the Lord well enough, and God will make nothing more known to you. Yeah, but if you really, and this, and every member of the bride, the deep calls to the deep. We all know this far more. There's something inside of us hungering for a deeper expression of God, for a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, for more reality, for more manifestation of his spirit in truth. You know, it's just natural inside of us. We desire that. Yeah, but we were down there in the mud pits. We were down there working for Pharaoh. We were the sons and daughters of God, but we didn't know we were the sons and daughters of God. Or if we did know, it was a theory. What? How was it really affecting us inside of our lives? Because we weren't living as the sons and daughters of God. We were under bondage. So God, in his great mystery purpose, in each age, he looks at his children and he says, I can't leave my children like this. My children need to be manifest in each age. And the very first part of his mystery purpose, he must reveal himself to that age.
Amen.
He has to come and read. That's why Moses meets a burning bush. I am that I am. Go down, I'm sending you. So it starts with a one-man move. And here comes a man with a ministry to reveal who God is in the age.
Yes.
The man isn't God, but God is revealing himself through the man.
Yeah.
Because God has tied himself in man. And if you really want to know who God is, you need to go and find the messenger of your age.
Right.
Because that's the first, even the seven church ages, he sends a messenger first to reveal Christ to the age,
that's
to
right.
reveal what's in God's heart for the people in that age. Now, and that's the first thing that he does always. He wants to, he says, the second paragraph says, that was his, one of his great threefold purposes, to express himself, to identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. You know, so obviously the greatest expression of this is in Christ. Because the fullness of the Godhead was dwelt bodily in Jesus. That was the perfect expression of God. But that's not the only time, God. Every age, God reveals himself. He sends messengers, he sends prophets, he sends judges, even in Samson and those kinds of people, to make himself known, to raise himself up in history, to reveal to the people of the age, the potential of their age, to reveal to his children in that age who they are and what he's raising them up for. But he's not just going to do it as a doctrine. He's not just going to do it as a theory. He's going to manifest himself. That's how when the messenger comes in our age, brother, look at his ministry. It was like a ministry like Moses.
Yeah.
And he was told, you'll be given two signs like Moses. And, but the manifestation was, you cannot believe some of the manifestation that takes place. And why is God doing that? God is revealing himself.
That's right.
God is expressing himself. It's the very nature of God to show himself the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So that's the first part. Then he says, but secondly, the second purpose he has is to have the preeminence in his body of believers,
right,
that he may live in his people. So he doesn't just send the messenger and that's the program for the day. The very purpose of the messenger coming is the Lord wants the manifestation in his children now. when the children are down in the mud pits, and the Lord sends Moses, and Moses comes showing the glory of God. And there's the pillar of fire, and there's the manifestation of the plagues, and there's the glory of God manifest in Egypt. All of a sudden, those children of God, Joshua and Caleb, and then down there in the mud pits, something starts to stir inside of them. And they start saying, hey, we don't need to live this underprivileged life. God is real. You see, God is identifying himself by his characteristics. He's revealing himself to his people. And every one of his children with a seed inside of them, that seed's laying dormant. They're sons and daughters of God. But it takes the expression of God, the revelation of God in your age to get that something awakening inside of you, the seed inside of you coming to life and say, hey, I'm also a child of God. I don't have to live like this. You're never going to take Moses' place. You're not supposed to. But the manifestation of God in Moses stirred up something in the souls, in the deep down inside of each of the elect of the children of God in that age. And in every age, it's like that. God, he sends Wesley to an age. God reveals himself, unveils himself in a portion. The elect, they catch it. They see God in that message. They see God in the manifestation of the messenger. And then they say, I've also got my inheritance I need to take as well. And now something wakes up inside of you. And now you yourself, you want to walk with Christ in your age. Because now there's a deeper stirred you in the deep inside of you. It's like the awakening of something inside of you. And once that's been awakened inside of you and me, it never goes to sleep again. No, it wants to express itself as well. You've seen the expression of God in Moses. Now you want to see the expression of God in you. That's the whole thing that he sends it for. That's how Paul says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not Christ in Paul, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. And that's the heart's purpose of God. Firstly, he must reveal himself, but it's not just to reveal himself just for fun. And God doesn't just reveal himself so he can show, look how big I am and strong I am. He doesn't do that. He reveals himself to his children so that his children start to wake up, so that his children are born again. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ brings the new birth to somebody. He reveals himself to Paul on the Damascus Road. He's Saul of Tarsus. He's not going to be Saul of Tarsus anymore.
No.
He's going to be Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. So that expression, that revelation, when it strikes you in your age, of Christ in your age, that wakens up now that predestined elect seed inside of you. And you wake up, the sonship, the being a son or a daughter of God, wakes up inside of you for the first time.
Amen.
And you start to realize, I'm a son of God. Wow. And you start to realize the potential of your day. You start to realize the potential of what it is that God is calling you to. And that's what the Joshua Commission is there for now, is to take you in that condition. Okay, let me help you find your position. Like Caleb, he wants to take his mountain now. Caleb's not saying, Moses, teach me how to throw down the rod so I can be like you. That's not his function.
Right.
Caleb's got his portion in the land, and he has a mountain, and he has the enemies possessing his inheritance. When he sees that manifestation of God, he himself takes out his sword and says, I want to go and get my mountain as well. So he's got his inheritance to possess. He's got his personal promises that the Lord has given to him to possess. Yeah, and that's the deep that's inside of you and I.
Hallelujah.
None of us want to live an intellectual life. I don't want to be an intellectual believer. Intellect means nothing. That's the mind. You want a reality inside of yourself. Now you want to walk with God in your own way. You know, you want to see the manifestation of God in your life, in your calling. That may be as humble and simple as whatever in the Bible, but it's going to be real to you. You'll be able to say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's Christ is in me. Because I've seen the manifestation of God inside of my life. And that's what God wants. He wants to be real to every one of his children. He wants to express himself in the life of every one of his children. He wants there to be the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. Every single one manifesting what they are supposed to manifest in that age. That's what he's going to show us. So this speaks about the power of expression. In the kingdom of God, that's what the Lord loves. There's a power of expression in the kingdom of God. Yeah, whenever the Lord reveals himself, when that anointing comes, there's power of expression. And you just get that inside of your life, and you're going to express what you're supposed to express. God doesn't reveal himself just to show that he's great. He needs to do that at first to show that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But his heart's purpose, Brother, says, in revealing himself, is that he might have preeminence in his people, is that he may be glorified in his people. You know, we spoke of it before. God in his kingdom, he's the source of all Father. God is the real Father.
Amen.
That's who we learn from. God hasn't come down to his family, and when he comes home, everybody runs away.
No.
Yeah. And everyone's so scared that daddy came home. That's not what fatherhood is.
No.
A true father ministers his children to expression.
Right.
Yeah. Brother James, if Cardell, like we always joke, doesn't know how to brush his teeth now, and he has to come to his daddy every day, "Daddy, can you brush my teeth?" You haven't done a very good job as a father. Because your children should become less and less dependent upon you.
Yeah.
They should be expressing what you've expressed.
Amen.
Yeah. The more mature they become, the more they'll become like you.
Amen.
If you've been a genuine father, they're going to start expressing what they've seen you express. And that's what the Lord wants. That's why he sends, he reveals himself, expresses himself. But his whole purpose in that, he wants every member of his family to express themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be glorified in one of his people. Now, he's not that kind of a father who's, you know, he's the main man. Nobody else can do anything in the home. Now, he must do everything. No, that's not true fatherhood. That's not how God does things. Everything the Lord does is so that you can walk with him.
Amen.
He doesn't want to be the one running things. He wants to be in you running things. You know, that's the purpose that he has. And that's why there's the power of expression in his kingdom. He doesn't just want to reveal himself and to show, look who I am. You know why he reveals himself? He says, look who I am in you.
Amen.
That's the purpose that he reveals in Christ in you.
Amen.
He said, let me reveal myself to you because I want to reveal myself in you. That's the whole purpose that he has. His whole purpose is to do that. The power of expression. He doesn't just want to express himself as king. He wants there to be a kingly expression in all of his kingdom.
Amen.
Every member, every subject in the kingdom must express that authority, must express who they are in their own measure, in their own manner, in their own calling. And that's what the Joshua Commission is there for, is this expression. Like I said, like Caleb. If Caleb had never seen the expression of God in Moses, nothing would have woken up inside of Caleb to say, I want my mountain. But when he saw the divine reality, yeah, and Moses brought the presence and the kingdom of God, and here was Caleb now seeing the manifestation of God, partaking of the glory of God through Moses. Now Caleb inside of himself, he said, what about me?
Yeah.
What about me? This visitation is not only for Moses, it's for me as well.
Yeah.
What am I? How am I? When the anointing comes, that's why when you get anointed, when you've got the Holy Ghost, and the anointing comes to you, that anointing, you're going to yield to it according to your calling. If you find somebody has a real gift of intercession, when they get in the Spirit, the first thing they want to do is find a place to pray. Because that's the portion of the inheritance. They yield to that spirit of intercession. They can then now pray and intercede for people because the Lord is near. The prophet was the same with the gift of healing. When the anointing was near, now they had phoned people in the neighborhood who wanted to be prayed for. Because the angel is near, they'd bring people and you pray for them at that time. Now it just depends. If you've got a gift of evangelism and the Lord is near, you know, you want to get out there while he's near and go and manifest your gift of evangelism. Where if it's me, if the Lord's near, I want to get myself shut in with God and I want to get my messages.
Right.
Because his anointing is there and I want to be feeding and you're getting into the word because that's the calling that I have. So your calling is going to match the way you respond to the anointing.
That's
if you're
right.
A musician, Brother George, Brother James, the anointing comes in a specific way. You get your guitar, you get your pen and your paper,
Amen.
You're writing a song.
That's right.
Because it's a fresh visitation. There's a fresh inspiration. Yeah, but I can't myself. I get in prayer, I get in the presence of God, and I want to get a guitar. That's as dumb as us wanting to go and try to do what Brother Branham did. But people in the message wanted to do it. They wanted to discern like Brother Branham did a few years back, and they got things wrong. Remember the saints who came to Dublin that and told saints you're going to have a girl, they're going to have a boy. Said it was going to snow in Dublin in December, and it never snowed. Don't take somebody else's position.
No.
Be yourself. And just progressively walk with God, yield yourself, then you will manifest what you are supposed to manifest as a son and a daughter of God. But Caleb needed, every one of us in our age, we needed to see the manifestation of God in the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And you just listen to the supernatural books or read them again. If you've never ever understood the ministry of Brother Brown. So powerful.
Yes.
Just go and listen to how the angel came to me and his commission. You know, just go and see the commission he was given and go and listen now to those testimonies of when he went out first on the healing campaigns.
Mm.
I mean, it is unbelievably awesome. The manifestation of God, the miracles that took place, the healings that took place, the evangelism that went forth, and the glory and the atmosphere that everybody would testify of that came with that little man. You know, it's not pointing to the man, but God is vindicating
him
because he's a representative man. He's speaking of something. This means it's a certain dispensation. When Martin Luther came after 1,000 years of Catholicism, darkness in Europe, you couldn't read, there was no Bibles, nothing. When God sent Luther, and Luther had that experience of salvation, of deliverance from the guilt of sin. You read his life story. When Luther came, he was a representative man. We'll see it. He was the first fruits.
Mm.
So God calls one man and reveals himself in and through that man.
Mm-hmm.
And when he reveals himself in and through that man, you can understand the heart of God for the age.
Amen.
Anybody had spiritual discernment, the bride in the days of Luther, when Luther came out now, anointed by God as the messenger of his age, and he came with the message of his age of justification by faith, salvation by grace alone. You can know now that you are son and daughter of
man.
Every single member of the bride, something stirred inside him. Said, I want that. That's my inheritance. God is coming as like the first fruits. We'll see it in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, before the harvest.
Mm.
When it was harvest season, no one was allowed to harvest their fields until there was the festival of the first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do, they would go from Jerusalem, the priests would go across the Kidron, and they'd go and find a field, which was the first field, say, of wheat, that had come to maturity. And they would take an omer of it, quite a bit of it, they'd harvest some of it, tie it up, bring it, beat it out, get that, bring it to the temple before the Lord, and they would wave it before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was waved before the Lord, this was the first of the field that had come to maturity. But when it was waved and accepted before the Lord, it was a testimony that the rest of the field's going to come to maturity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when you see a ministry coming like Brother Brown, God's waving before the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first fruits of the age. You see, and then if you understand what was what is this man's message? What was his anointing? What was it that God expressed in and through this man? If he was the messenger to the age, he's not the only one in that age going to come to maturity. There's a whole field coming to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the first fruits is all about. Luther was the first fruits of that age. As an individual, God sends one man.
Yeah.
That man has an experience. That man meets Christ in his age, comes and brings forth a message and a manifestation. And then all of the sons of God wake up in that age. All the sons and daughters of God realize, but you don't have to stay in this tradition anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to bow to these statues of Mary. Yeah, it's true. I can speak. I've got a priesthood myself. I can approach God myself.
Amen.
I don't need a mediator. The only mediator between man and God and man is the man Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That was Luther's message. And every single one of the elect had that experience in that age.
Amen.
They didn't all have to go out like Luther and stand before the emperor and do the things, nail things to the door and all that he did. But every single one of them needed to come. It was music, some printing, some missionary work, some prayer, whatever that it was. But every single one of them came under the umbrella of that anointing of that age. And they took from the inheritance. Same when Wesley came in the 1700s.
Amen.
And God gave him a deeper experience than Luther. Another part of restoration of redemption. Sanctification.
Yes.
You can be cleansed of the very desire of sin inside of them. The power of the blood. And Wesley came and preached that Luther was good, but he wasn't good enough. He stopped short. This more, you can live a holiness, a godly life. And God vindicated the man. I mean, there was powerful manifestation in the ministry of Wesley. But God gave one man the experience first. And then he came now and was waved before the people. And God was showing, this is what's available in this age. This is the age unit, the age of sanctification. And every single one of the sons and daughters of God, the deep called from to the deep. And they said, wow, yes, I do believe on the Lord. But I haven't been living a holy life. And then they would enter in under the unction, the anointing, the revelation of Christ in that message. And they received that experience of sanctification. You know, so it shows that it moved from a one-man ministry. Yes, one man has the experience, but it moves on to the whole body now.
Amen.
That's always God's desire to express himself to and in his people.
That's right.
That's the power of expression in the kingdom of God. Everyone, that's why Jesus now, he's the supremely qualified one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a look at Jesus, he's the only one who's entitled, because only one worthy of worship, because everything Jesus did was not for himself.
That's true.
Everything Jesus did, all the revelation he gave, the parables that he gave, the unveiling of his word, the miracles that he did, you know, the expression of God inside of him was for one purpose. You know what it was? To bring forth the expression of God in his disciples. That was his whole purpose. And Jesus came and he knew these 12 are the key.
Amen.
And he revealed the Father. Show us the Father and it'll satisfy. When you see me, you see the Father. You know, who do men say that? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And you'll be called Peter. And the gates of hell will never prevail against. Upon this rock I'll build my church. You know, so those disciples now, when they saw that manifestation of God, the manifestation of the Father in Christ, that manifestation of the name of God, the ever-present living reality of God, God being raised out of history now, it woke something up inside of them. And Peter realized, I'm not just a man who must be coming back every morning smelling from catching fish. That's not who I really am. I'm not really Simon, I'm Peter, an apostle. And something woke up inside of them, every single one of the elect, when they saw that manifestation. But it needed to move from a one-man ministry. That's why Jesus said, it's good for you that I go to my Father.
That's right.
It's not doing you any good. When all the fullness of the God is in me, it can't be in you.
That's right.
Therefore, I need to go to my Father. And I'll pray to my Father, and he'll send you the Comforter.
Amen.
The same Spirit that's in me, it's not going to be divided among you all. None of you are going to have the fullness of the Godhead like me. But every single one of you is going to have your portion.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of you is going to have a portion. And then the day of Pentecost came, and the pillar of fire divided himself up and came on 120 and came on the rest. And now there was the manifestation of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see Thomas going to die in India, and you find James being put to death for the Lord. And you find Paul now going out and turning the world upside down in his age. And under them, there were other people. There's Dorcas, she's doing what she's supposed to do. There's Lydia opening her house up so that they can be the start of the church in Philippi.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a part to play. It's now gone from just one man and moves on into a body.
Amen.
And there's the manifestation of the sons of God. And they start to manifest who they really, really are. And that's what he always desires inside of his kingdom. When you find a church where the pastor's the main man, we were in a church like that. Used to tell us there's only one Rambo in this movie.
that's
nonsense.
Yeah.
Because the very purpose of ministry, because ministry, the fivefold ministry, yeah, is the next stage of the Joshua Commission.
Yeah, that's right.
The Joshua Commission starts in our age with Malachi 4. I send you Elijah the prophet.
Yeah.
Then Malachi 4, he does his job perfectly, gives us the message. It now moves to Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry,
yeah,
now. But it doesn't stop there. It's now placing the believers now. Everybody finding their place in the body of Christ, manifesting in the simplicity, God hidden in simplicity, manifesting Christ in their age. That's what it's going to be. Because I'm sure you're like me. I don't want to just sit like a prophet, say like a wart on a log. You just come to church and then you go home. You just come to church and you go, do you want to see the reality of Christ inside your life?
Amen.
You want the supernatural. You want the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Maybe just even to testify to a neighbor, to testify to somebody on the, you know, when you're doing the bins, whatever that it is. You know, somebody at college. But the Lord really desires to make himself known. And that's why I'm saying that Jesus and his disciples, you know, it went from a one-man move where everything was in Christ. This is what Abraham says about it. When I think of it, he says, in Christ as a mystery of God revealed, he says, when I think of this program of God, he says, I just see denominations pass off the sea. We're not living in that denominational age anymore. And we're living right at the junction, right at the end of time, where it's not a human program anymore. That's what he's trying to say. God is vindicated by the return of the pillar of fire and the message coming in the way that is restoring the fullness of the word. It shows we're not living in an age where you don't want human headship anymore.
No.
We don't want committees running things and telling people, you go and be a missionary. We want it back to the way it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
When they had a prayer meeting in the Holy Ghost, it separated me from 100% Paul.
Amen.
Then you come back to the original headship again. That's what the ministry of Brother Ram showed us. The pillar of fire, he says that in Christ is the mystery of God. The return of the pillar of fire shows headship has returned to the church.
Okay.
This is the last, this is to raise the whole church out in the resurrection, in the rapture. That the original headship has come back to the body once again. That's what his ministry showed us. Now, how do you apply that in your own life? There's a lot of potential in applying that inside your own life. You know, you think of the resources that are available to us now. It's been manifested and demonstrated to us, the power of this message. And that's available to you and I. If you humble yourself before the Lord, you get yourself and the Spirit, God can speak to you. God can guide you. God can lead you. God can do mighty things. That's the very reason. It's gone beyond that denominational sample. He says, and everything else just goes, when I see God's great purpose. And it's so wonderful to think about God's purpose for your life. What is God's purpose for your life? Manifest himself in your life.
Amen.
He wants you to be a blessing to the rest of the body of Christ in your own measure.
That's right.
So if you are glad and you're raising your corn, we can come and eat of your corn and say, wow, nobody has corn like that. Or if you are Reuben and you're growing your grapes, whatever, we can partake of the grapes from Reuben because my land doesn't grow grapes. That's not what I'm ordained to do. But I can come and partake of the grapes of Reuben and be blessed and say, I'm so glad I went to visit Reuben today. And what about spiritually? Is that not what God has in mind for his people? He wants every single one of us to be the manifestation of a son of God, a daughter of God in our own way. Mary did it in her age. She brought forth Christ in her age. Yeah, Elizabeth did it in her. She brought forth Elijah in her age. They were simple women, but they were God in the spirit of the age. And there was a manifestation of a daughter of God. And they brought forth everything they were supposed to bring forth in that age. And we're a blessing to the age and a blessing down to us even now. You know, it doesn't really matter how complicated it really is. So he says, first, to reveal himself in Christ. This was God's purpose. The fullness of the Godhead body. And then to bring that fullness of God in bodily into a people.
Amen.
So he says, he reveals himself in Christ, the fullness of the God in body, but that's not the end of it. Because he doesn't want the fullness of the God in body just in Christ. He wants the fullness of the God in his people. He says that he could have preeminence. That's what he's always desired. That's what he's always wanted, is to do it like that. And like I said, that's why it's the deep calling to the deep. The manifestation of God in your age. You even hear a genuine testimony, an anointed testimony. It stirs up something inside of you.
Amen.
That you want more of God. You want to get up in the morning and pray and get more in his presence. You hear somebody preach something that's got anointing and depth in the word. Makes you want to get in the word more.
Right.
So I want to go and read that message. I don't know that these things are inside of you. So the manifestation of God brings forth a desire in the children of God for the manifestation of God in their life. You know, it does. When you hear of the great things Brother Branham did, what the Lord did in the ministry of Brother Branham, doesn't it stir you up to say, look, I'm not expecting to do what Brother Branham did, but In my own calling, I know there's more.
Yeah.
I know there's deeper. I know there's further. I know there's far more of my inheritance that I can possess. Because you start to realize the potential of your age. Because God's waved it before you and said, guys, do you realize the time that you live in? Do you realize the potential that's available to you as the body of Christ in the saints? He's already done that for us. He says, it was God in Christ. This isn't the mighty God unveiled before. God in a man. The fullness of the God in bodily in a man. God in a man. Now it's God in men. The fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church.
Amen.
Yeah. Because when the pillar of fire comes down, when the Lord comes down, he doesn't go away. When he comes down and manifests himself through Moses, yeah, he's not going back to heaven again and leaving the people. He's not with his people. And those who catch the vision, Joshua's going to speak to the sun.
Yeah.
Like we saw in sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just, sun stands on moon, you stand over Angela. Because he realized the potential of his day.
Mm-hmm.
And he used that divine potential in his own calling.
Amen. Yeah.
In the line of duty of his daily life. When a need came up, as we saw on Sunday, he didn't have to pray, Joshua. He was already praying. He was in the will of God.
Yeah.
He was in his commission. He was in, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's why he could just speak and go forward.
Yeah.
Because he realized now the potential of the day and the time that he was living. That's why it says it's God in men. The fullness of God in the Godhead, bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. I didn't pull it there. There's another quote from it says, God, the fullness of the Godhead came into Jesus to manifest the scriptures he had to manifest. Now he needs to come into you and I to manifest the scriptures we are supposed to manifest. We have to fulfill the scriptures of our age. Jesus isn't coming back as a man to fulfill our scriptures. There's scriptures pertaining to you.
Yes.
That you and I need to be able to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled.
Amen. Amen.
Just like the disciples did on the day of Pentecost. This day is the scripture fulfilled. You know, that's the principle that he's speaking about in this particular time. He says, okay, let's finish with this thought now, David's headship. Because David was a real mighty man of God. He was a type of Christ. And Abraham says, if you want to understand the program of God, God hid his mystery in the peoples of the past, in the Bible. David being a great type of Christ, a prophet, a priest, and a king.
Amen.
We know he had that manifestation inside of his life. Now, David was a man who was always willingly under divine headship. That's the thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
He made his mistakes like you and I. But David always wanted to be under divine headship. He always wanted to be led by the pillar of fire. He didn't want to do his own things. And that was the secret of this man. He was a man after God's own heart. And now David comes as a type of Christ. And there's the manifestation of the Son of God. First with Goliath. Then God's been vindicating him personally with the lion and the bear. Then there comes an unveiling now. God says it's time for this ministry to become public. And he doesn't have no ambition to be anybody. He just comes to bring the cheese and the bread and that to his brothers on the battlefield. And he hears now the boasting of God. And he's anointed. And the prophet says he's elected. He's called. He's anointed. And now he's placed. He finds his position. And there's a manifestation of God inside of his life. And that starts to stir up the genuine people at that time. And now he's chased around. He's rejected king like Christ. He's a type of Christ. He's rejected now by his people. And now the Gentiles start coming. And the other people start coming. And all these outlaws and renegades and those people that are in debt. Brother says they sense the anointing upon them. They saw Christ in the man. Because he was Christ in his age. A manifestation, a shadow and a type of Christ in his age. And here again, people that... Like if you watch that Sight and Sound, David, it's very good. They didn't realize they were also born to be giant killers. There were men that were big, outcast and defeated inside of their lives until they met David, the reflection of Christ in their age. When they saw that anointing and tasted of the kingdom of God in their age, they were defeated, not realized they were the ones who were supposed to kill the brothers of Goliath.
Yeah. That's
right. Amen.
That's true.
That's what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But it took the manifestation of a son of God, David, to bring forth the manifestation of his sons of God,
mm-hmm.
his mighty men. And that's how God does it in every kingdom. That's the Joshua Commission. It takes a son of God, a daughter of God to manifest, and that stirs up, wakens the seed, wakens the desire in the hearts of the other sons and daughters of God. Say, but hey, me, I also want to do something for the Lord. I also want to do exploits. Lord, what is it that I can do for you? Now, if you listen to the testimony of Tommy Osborne about Brother Branham, it's a very good testimony. He says that Tommy Osborne was really hungering and thirsting for the Lord. He went to India. He was defeated when the Muslims challenged him, and he had no manifestation of God inside of his life. He came back, started to seek the Lord, and he had a vision. And he saw Christ in the vision. That's the first time that he experienced this. He saw Jesus in the vision, he says. He says, and then he heard, 1947, 1948, he heard about the ministry of William Branham, what was taking place. And he was in charge of a big convention, Tommy Osborne. And he says, I think Brahram was in Portland, which was just near to where he was. He said, I was the convener of the convention, but I left the convention. He says, I needed to go and see what I'm hearing all these things. He said, I went and I sat there and I wept. He said, to see the manifestation of God that was there. He said, I first had seen Jesus in a vision. Now I saw Jesus in a man. He says, but it still didn't satisfy my thirst. He says, I went and spoke to him and he counseled him. He said, I went and sought God. He said, then I started to see Jesus in him.
Wow.
Now he started to go pray for the second time. He did great things in Argentina. Well, you go and see the testimony of the man. Yeah, he now started to say, hey, he's not trying to take the place of the messenger, but the manifestation of a son of God, especially the messenger, has awoken a hunger and a thirst inside for the manifestation of God in my life, manifestation of these sons of God. So one always is necessary to bring that up. Christ is a mystery of God. First, God has to reveal himself. First, he has to make himself known so that he can have preeminence, so that he can manifest himself in the midst of his people. That's the purpose of God. He wants to be in you. He wants to be in me. He wants to be real to us. He wants to manifest himself in simplicity, whatever that is, but it's going to be powerful and glorious inside of the least, if there is such a thing, believer. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how short you've been, what duration you've been as a believer. It's the desire of God to be real in your spirit. He wants to use you so you can say, Christ in me, the hope of God. So you know for yourself, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. I don't only know it through seeing it through the messenger of our age, but I've experienced it myself. I've also, in my own way, had my son stand still. You've experienced those things yourself. You know that it's true. So when you're going and reading the Bible now, you know the Bible's true.
Amen.
Because you've experienced those things in your own way. God vindicating in your calling, God vindicating in the way that he made you, making himself real, raising himself out of history, and then revelation to you brings the seed in you to life. That's the new birth now. And now you have potential now. And then we'll see it next time. The bride's potential. The potential that's inside of a bride. But you don't realize it until you see somebody else expressing their potential and say, hey, maybe I should get out of my comfort zone. Maybe God can use me in a greater way than he is because you see the potential in the bride. And you see other people expressing their potential. And that makes you hungry and thirsty. Oh, Lord, what is more glorious than Christ revealing himself in and through in some way? There's nothing more glorious than that. You know, so it comes down to, with David's mighty men, it's manifestation brings forth manifestation. It's the manifestation of a son of God. Look at the days of Jesus with his disciples.
Yeah.
The manifestation of the son of God brought forth the manifestation of some 12 or 11 sons of God.
Right.
Plus Paul and Barnabas and all the other ones that came in that age. It was that manifestation of Christ. But God first has to reveal himself to the age. That's why he divided the church ages into seven. And he sent a star, a messenger to each age. And he reveals himself through that messenger to wake up the potentials in the bride for that age. And then that bride in the old way, they walk with Christ in their age. And they are the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God in their age. And you'll take it all through the Bible. You'll find the same. Nehemiah comes, the people are defeated, the walls are broken up. They're the sons and daughters of God. They don't realize who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all this potential, all the resources that they need to get the job done. But until one man shuts himself in under a deep calling of God for the age, a real redemptive calling, at a serious juncture, the beginning of the 7 weeks of Daniel was Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very prophetic juncture. And then deep spoke to the man and he shut himself in with God for a season. And he had an experience with God. And he caught the redemptive mind of God for that junction. That the walls of Jerusalem need to be rebuilt. And then he starts realizing, no, I can't leave this to other people.
That's true.
God is calling me. God wants to manifest through me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying for God to answer this prayer, but I'm the answer to the prayer.
Amen.
And then he goes before the king, and the king gives him all the royal authority from the throne. When he takes his position, he's given all the resources he needs. He's given an escort, protection, everything to go down to Jerusalem. When he comes down now, and he's anointed for the job, he's called for the job, he's now in his position, and he now reveals it to his brethren. His brethren now start waking up and say, let's get the job done. And everybody builds next to his house.
Amen.
Everybody took their own portion. One's building the sheep gate, another one's building the fish gate, another one's building the corner, another one's, you know, everybody was doing their own part in building the wall. And they built it, 53 days, whatever that it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even the enemy said, God was in this.
Yeah.
Can you see the manifestation of the sons of God? But it took the manifestation of a son of God coming with the vision, the call by God to stir up the rest of the sons of God. Then everybody started taking their position. That's what the Joshua Commission is all about.
Amen.
That's why God sends these kind of things. So it comes down finally, like I say, to the first fruits. And the first fruits is a very virtuous thing. If you want to listen to this in the message, listen to the message. It is the rising of the sun. Your program speaks about the first fruits. And God always has to send the first fruits. God always has to send one ahead of the rest. He sends Joseph down to Egypt. He inherits the glory and the honor.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the sons of Jacob can follow now because one man God has sent him before. That Christ is the obvious, the fullness of this. Is God sends one man. And we all follow those bloody footprints. And because he paved the way and showed us the way to adoption, to become placed as sons and daughters of God. Jesus, like we said on Sunday, he also had his human side. There was the divine side about his commission, but he was his human side. And not my will, but thy will be done. He could be tempted by the devil telling him, you can inherit the kingdom without the cross. You don't have to go the way of the cross. He had to overcome in his age to leave the bloody footprints for us. But he showed us the way. He manifests what it is to be an overcoming son of God. And now we follow the same bloody footprints, each believer in his turn, and we overcome in our turn.
Amen.
But it takes one always going before. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And Jesus resurrected from the dead on Easter morning, and he was waved before the people. God showed now on the day of Pentecost, the power of the resurrection came upon the church. It shows that because Jesus rose from the dead, he's the first one from the field. Every single one in the field is going to raise from the dead.
You know.
Not one of the brides going to be dead.
No.
We'll all come up in the first resurrection.
Amen.
It's proven already. It's vindicated by God because God has accepted the first fruits.
Amen.
Because Christ was accepted, the whole field is accepted.
That's right.
That's the law of the first fruits. And you can take it down and look at it in each age. But I'm sure you feel like me, the deep calls to the deep. No, you know, deep down inside of the souls of the sons and daughters of God, there's too much intellectualism these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's too much intellectualism and not enough manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's too much arguing and not enough agonizing. There's too much theology, not enough neology.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll never satisfy the soul of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how when we listen to testimonies, when we listen to the messages, when we hear all of these things, but should just stir us up for one thing to say, Lord, I want to see Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to possess more of my inheritance. I want to be who I'm supposed to be in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I want you to be glorified in my life in a deeper, more real way. I want to be a person that you use me to waken up the hunger and thirst in the lives of other people. And that's what we want to be, don't we, saints?
Yeah.
And we don't want to just be, you know, believers just because we tick the boxes. But we desire that life behind them, that divine reality in our daily walk. Yeah, and I think that's so much more important. All the arguments we have with people and all of the reasoning you have with people is that genuineness of Christ in your life. That you're walking with Christ. There's something about you. It awakens up deep inside of genuine people. And they want to know Christ because they've seen Christ. And there can be no greater blessing that you could be to anybody else than to reflect Christ to people. If you just reflect Christ to our children in the midst of the struggles of life, it wakens up the deep in them.
That's right.
And then you see them playing the guitars and you see them now getting married in the Lord and all these kind of things. Came from somewhere. There had to be something waved before them. Yeah, the deeper and more real it can be when it's waved before, the more powerful the work that the Lord can do. So may the Lord help us to continue on this with one desire as his people. We're not gathered under denominational program. Denominations have passed away. That's not the age that we're living in. That's the age of man. We've now received the headship again. The headship of the fullness of the Godhead, which is the pillar of fire. And he wants to be real to every one of us and guide us and lead us and walk with us and overshadow every one of us. Go before us as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He wants us to stay on course like Joshua. And he said to us, be strong, be very courageous. That's what he said to Joshua. Meditate therein in this law of Moses. Don't turn to the left or the right. Then no man will stand before you all the days of your life. He says, I'll be with you. Everything that I promised you will come to pass.
Amen.
And Joshua was that kind of a man. That was his commission. And that's the commission that we have. So may the Lord help us to be faithful to that commission. Let's stand. Let's just bow our heads. If anybody has a desire before the Lord, if you want to hold it inside of your heart, say, Lord, I have a desire before you. I think it's just that song of Brother George Martin. More and more of Jesus, less and less of me. That's my desire. Like Paul says, I die daily, that I might grow from glory to glory. May the Lord help us to do that. Whatever your desire, may the Lord grant to you. Father, we pray for the people this evening. Father, we just say concerning your word, be it unto us according to your word.
Yes.
Father, we just want more of you.
Yes.
We just want, Father, deeper anointing in our midst. We just want more of the reality of the living God and the things that we do. So you continue to help us, Lord. Give us our sins and our trespasses, any Babylonian garments, Lord, any gold wages. Father, you forgive us. Let the blood of Christ make a perfect atonement for every iniquity and every guilt, Father, we pray. And Lord, may you continue to, Lord, reflect yourself in your message to our souls and reveal yourself. To stir up the deep inside of us, we pray. You bless your people, minister to every need, Lord. Be with us in the remainder of this evening. Be with us as we go from this place.
Yes.
You be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just ask for things to be listening. So.
And 88, down from his glory. It's down from his glory, ever living story, my glorious escaping. And Jesus was his name, born in heaven, to his own stranger, a man of sorrows, yes, and God only. Oh,
I am.
holy. My bread, my sunshine, my only Lord, a great creator, became my savior, in your God's goodness. Dwelling in me, what condensation bringing us redemption? Oh, God, in our day of night, don't want faithful inside. God gracious, tender, lay aside his kingdom, stoop into the tree to save my soul. Verse 3. Without reluctance, flesh and blood is substance, each of the form of man, reveal thy hidden plan. O glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know when the my holy Lord, the great creator, he came my Savior, in the Lord's fullness, dwelling within me.
So that's out for the